Could stand with me for a word of prayer. Almighty God, we come before you this morning in Jesus' name to worship you. We bless you. We praise you. You're an awesome God. We pray that your glory will be manifested in our midst here this morning, that we could worship you in true spirit and truth, and that we could hear from you, O God, that your heart will minister to our hearts and touch our lives and change us for your glory, for your purpose, O God. We love you, we bless you, we give ourselves to you this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I'm blessed and encouraged, and I'm not sure where my heart's going to take us this morning in the message. Yesterday I was preparing some things, and last evening I picked up my phone and I clicked on Instagram, and it was just one after the other. It was on and on and on. It was about the Ashbury Revival and all the beautiful things that are happening there. And it was just, it just melted my heart. It just touched me to see God moving in the way that he is in places around the country. And I guess one thing that really touched me, I know the Fox News was planning to go there this morning to do a news report on it. And they called him up yesterday and said, please don't come. So this is God's work. This is God's presence. So this is no place for TV cameras. We don't want you here. That really touched me, that this is, it's God. It's God, it's moving. It's God's work. It's God's doing. It's not something, not something for TV cameras and publicity. It's, they want to just, this is for their people and for their presence. And it's God is real. God has come down. And I was so blessed with that. The brokenness and the, they're not looking for publicity. They're not looking for popularity. They just want to bathe in the presence of God. And that's what my heart is this morning. And then this morning I was listening to John Bivier sharing about his new book on the awe of God. The awe of God. And how we need, our need today is not to know more about the Bible, but it's to fear God. The fear of God in the hearts of our people is what's lacking in the church today. I heard him share a couple times already the story about a major televangelist that's in prison today because of sin in his life. He said he went to visit him and he asked him, he said, whatever happened that you lost your love for God? Where did this all happen? He said, well, I didn't lose my love for God, but I lost my fear of God. It's the fear of God and the awe of God that keeps us in the love of God and living a life of holiness and righteousness and peace in the Holy Ghost. And again, he shared something this morning that touched me again, because something I almost forget about it sometimes. I had the experience, was it 10 or 15 years ago, whenever I experienced a seemingly out-of-the-body experience where I was drawn up into the presence of God and experienced the glory of God in a beautiful way. My body was sick and weak, and I thought I was going home, but he sent me back. But he shared how that the Bible says that when the Lord comes in his glory, the sun will be darkened. And that's what I experienced that day when I was drawn up into the glory of God. I experienced that. The glory of God was so bright. It was so absolutely white and bright and light that the sun in the sky was dark. The glory of God is absolutely awesome. And that's what I long for. That's what I live for. That's what where my hope is, to experience, to walk, to live, to dwell in his presence, in the glory, in his glory, in reality, for all of time, all of eternity. I look forward to that this morning. My heart is stirred. My heart is stirred to walk after God, to experience all that he has for me, to endure, to continue unto the end. Brothers and sisters, I believe we're very near the end. I believe we're nearing the end. Things are happening in the world that are very vital, very evident that Jesus is coming soon. You turn with me to 2 John this morning. Some scripture reading. The Lord spoke to me concerning a few thoughts here in this book. 2 John says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you. Mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found in thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I write a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this love that we, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, and neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I will not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that your joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee." Amen. The verses that spoke to me this morning are in verse 8 and 9. It says, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that we may receive a full reward. It says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God, but he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son." So the title of my message this morning is Abiding in the Doctrine of Christ. And what is the doctrine of Christ? To abide in that doctrine of Christ. To abide, the very thought of abiding, to abide in something is to continue and to endure. You know, that's one of the biggest things, of the biggest challenges of the Christian life. You know, we hear and we see people coming. We think people being stirred in revival and people becoming saved and people becoming changed and free. That's powerful. That's awesome. That's wonderful. But you know, it's the continuing and the enduring that's going to get us to heaven. It's not what happens back there, but it's what's continuing to work in our life. That which is continuing, that abiding in Christ, abiding in the doctrine of Christ. It's not what happened back there that's going to get us to heaven. It's the continuing and the enduring and the abiding in Him, abiding in the doctrine of Christ is going to take us all away. And that's one beautiful thing about the doctrine of Christ is that there is a continuing, there is a grace to continue. There's a grace to endure. He provides us everything that we need to endure. There's nothing lacking in His plan to keep us and to provide for us and to keep us in the love of God, to keep us in the doctrine of Christ. And we can rest in that. We can rest in that peace, knowing that He is our God and He is able to keep that which we have committed unto Him against that day. As we keep our eyes on Him, as we keep our focus on Him, as we endure, as we continue to abide, we continue to abide. We abide and we rest and we endure the circumstances of life, every situation of life, whatever we face. God has given us endurance. He has provided for us endurance. He's provided to meet our need and provide for us that nothing would stand in the way and keep us from going all the way with Him. What is the doctrine of Christ? When we think about the doctrine, whatever we think about when we think about the doctrine of Jesus Christ, what is that doctrine? I believe, first of all, I want to read in St. John, chapter 3. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that which we do know and do testify that we have seen." In verse 11, "And ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how should ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven. He that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth in Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifested, they are wrought in God." Faith is the doctrine of Christ. The first essential issue of our relationship with God is faith. We must believe that He is and that He was rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. We must believe. We must believe. Those that will believe in Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. In Romans chapter 5, a couple of my favorite verses in the Bible. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God by coming to Him and believing that He is, and believing that His work is sufficient to save us, that He's justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. I love that verse. By Him we have access. We have an open door. We have a door that we can enter into. We can enter into Jesus Christ. We can enter into His grace. We have access to His grace, where we can enter in and partake of His grace. We can partake of His salvation. We can partake of His provision for us. And we can stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We can look forward to that time when we can be in His presence and we can experience that glory in throughout all of eternity. We have that hope of the glory of God because by faith we enter in. That faith is the vessel. Faith is the access. Faith is the door that we have, that we can enter into His grace and experience His salvation. It is by faith we are received into the kingdom of God. It is by faith that we are born again. It is by faith that we are adopted into the family of God. We become the children of God. It is by faith we have access to God. Without faith, we cannot please God. We cannot come to God except by faith. By faith, we receive Him. By faith, we experience Him. By faith, we come to God. And we have access to Him through faith. Another verse I loved in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. You know, it's through faith that we can understand our salvation. We can understand God. We can understand the Word of God. Without faith, we cannot even understand the Word of God. It doesn't make any sense if we don't have faith. But through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. I love that thought that it's through faith we have access and we have knowledge. We have understanding that the Word of God is true. We know that God is true. Without faith, it's impossible, as Hebrews 11:6, to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So the doctrine of Christ, the first step, I believe, in our relationship to God, and to understand the doctrine of Christ, we must have faith. We must believe. We must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must believe that He is God. We must believe everything about Him. We must believe what His teaching. We must believe that of His authority. We must believe in His dominion. We must believe in His position as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We must believe that He is the one who is in control of all things, and we must surrender our lives unto that as we believe in Him. We surrender our entire being over to Him, allow Him to have His way in our life. We can have rest. We can have protection. We have the things that Brother John talked about this morning. We have the divine presence of God upon our life to keep us, to provide for us, to take us through life where He needs us to be. He'll do with us whatever He wants to do with us. And we are surrendered to that. whatever circumstances he brings into our life, whatever situations we face, that God's grace is sufficient. He's going to provide for us. He's going to take us through. He's going to meet our needs in every situation. And when we have that kind of faith, we don't have to fear. We don't have anything to worry. But we can rest assured in him that we are his. In Mark chapter 1, we see another aspect of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, it says, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.'" Repentance is an important aspect of the gospel, of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Jesus taught repentance. Jesus preached repentance. Repentance is that of a changed life. We change our way we were gone. We turn around and we go the other way. We stop living the way we were living, and we repent of the life that we were, and we turn our hearts toward God, and we start going another direction. We turn around, we change, we repent. Repentance is the heart of God. It's the heart of God's message for us. As we believe in the Lord, then we repent of our sins. We turn from them. We turn away from them, and we start walking after God and his ways and his heart. In Luke chapter 18, there's a story of repentance. It says two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. Says, I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess." And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You see, repentance is just simply being honest before God. Say, "God, I'm a sinner. God, I need you. God, I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner." Our cry of the cry of repentance is the cry of confession and admitting that I am wrong, I am a sinner, and I need God in my life. This is true repentance. Excuse me. So faith and repentance are important aspects of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. I believe those are some of the vital message of the gospel is faith in Jesus, to believe that he is, and to repent from the way that we were living and turn our heart to God. That's the new birth, the being born again. When we believe in the Lord Jesus, we believe that he's finished the work. We believe in him for the atonement. We believe in him for the justification of our justification. We believe in him for changing our life. We believe in him for a new life through repentance and turning to him and surrendering our lives to him. And in Mark 16, another aspect of the kingdom, Jesus said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I believe the testimony. God is asking of his people to go and share the testimony, share the message. We are called to share the message of the gospel. We are called to go and to share, whether it be to your neighbor next door or whether it be to someone in another side of the world. We are called to share the gospel. I believe that is part of the gospel, part of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. He taught his disciples, he taught his people to go and preach. Go and preach and teach. Teach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Go with the message. In whatever way God lays it on your heart, in whatever doors God opens up for you, to share the message of Jesus Christ wherever you can. To share the message of salvation. Share the gospel message. I believe that is a doctrine of Jesus Christ. I believe that is of his teaching. It's a vital part of his teaching. And in verse 16, it says, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So baptism is a doctrine of Jesus Christ. Baptism is a part of that doctrine that Jesus presented, that he taught, that we should believe and be baptized, and we should be saved. The breath of life, and man became a living soul. I believe that's in the creation. God breathed life into humanity. It was the breath of God that brought life into humanity. God breathed life into the nostrils of Adam. And man became a living soul. Then in Ezekiel, we have the story of the Valley of Dry Bones. And it says, thus said the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these that they may live. And the breath came unto them, and they lived. It's the breath of God. The breath coming, God, come in that caused those dry bones to come to life, to come to resurrection power, to experience life from the dead. The breath of God that brings forth life. Then we have in Acts chapter 4, of course, the story of chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, and John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, what wilt thou that this time restore again the kingdom of Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. It is the power of the Holy Ghost, the breath of God. When they were there in the upper room, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it says, suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. It was the breath of God came down upon them like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house, and it filled their hearts, and they were empowered with power from on high. They were empowered with a celestial power. A power from heaven came down upon them. And they were filled with power that they could go and they preached the gospel. They preached the word of God. They preached and many souls were saved because there was power the power and influence of the Spirit of God was upon them. And I believe today, if we are going to experience God in reality in our life, if we're going to experience God working among us, it's only as we experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our midst. And I'm not here to describe exactly how that's all going to be. I don't like to put God in a box and say that you have to be, have to do this particular ceremony in order to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe God might, God sometimes gave the Holy Spirit because people laid hands on people and they prayed for them and they received the Holy Spirit. I believe there are people that received the Holy Spirit just waiting upon God and just surrendering themselves to God in their own private prayer times. I believe people, there are those that received the Holy Spirit and immediately whenever they were born again. I don't know. I don't know how you might have experienced, how what your experience might be, but I believe that it is a very vital that we do experience the reality of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. It is vital, important. It is vital for the life of the church that we have experienced the reality of the Holy Spirit dwelling within our heart and within our life today. And He is here, and He is ready, and He wants to meet with us and to pour out His presence upon us. And He's not trying to hold it back. He's just waiting for us. The Bible says He gives the Holy Spirit to those that ask for it. And I believe that we simply need to be bold and to come to God and to pray for the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I know we're not going to be born again without the working of the Spirit of God in our life. We will have the working and the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. But I believe there are times when God wants to pour out a special blessing of the Spirit upon our life for the work of the ministry that He calls us to. I believe the purpose of the Holy Spirit is not just for our benefit, but it's for the furtherance of the gospel. It's for the work of the ministry. It's for the effectiveness of the gospel, for the preaching and the teaching and the influence of the Word of God. This is where the Holy Spirit comes into our life. We cannot accomplish God's work by intellectual knowledge and understanding, but only through the influence of the power of God upon us. And another principle of the kingdom of the gospel of Jesus, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, I believe, is enduring unto the end. You know, God has promised us all the provision that we stand in need of to endure unto the end. Abiding in Christ is a matter of enduring. In 2 Corinthians we have, "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for me, for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." That's the testimony of Paul. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." That's a beautiful promise. "My grace is sufficient for thee." This was God's word to Paul in relation to his infirmities that he of his flesh, that God's going to give him grace in his weakness. He's going to provide for him, and there's nothing going to be lacking. He's going to provide for him. Everything is going to be there to keep him, to take him all the way. 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "And there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Hallelujah, this precious verse. There's nothing that's going to come in your way that God doesn't give provision for. He's going to provide for everything that comes into your life. There's no temptation that is not common to man. Everybody has temptations, and I believe Jesus has been tempted in all points like as we are. It says, and we can have the confidence that he knows how to deal with these temptations. He knows what we stand in need of. He knows where we are weak. He knows where we need grace. He knows what we need to carry us through and to keep us faithful and to endure all the way to the end. That's the thing that challenges me this morning. You know, it's the going forward. It's a continuing on. You know, my mother was saved back when I was about 8 or 9 years old. And I thought of that just, you know, she had a dramatic conversion experience. She was saved in a holiness tent meeting out there north of Chambersburg back in the 60s. It was over 60 years ago. And she was one that was very bold to share her testimony. She would share her testimony many times in places, in family reunions. I remember her standing up and sharing her testimony to her cousins that were unsaved. And she had a burden for many souls. And she was bold in talking about Jesus and telling about Jesus. And when she was on her deathbed a couple weeks ago, she was still sharing her testimony of how God saved her. She was sharing her testimony to some of the workers that came into the hospital to see her. She was sharing the testimony of Jesus after 60 years. She endured all these years with a glorious testimony of Jesus Christ. And you know, that can be our experience, every one of us, that we can endure, that we can share Jesus Christ for 60 years and continue on all the way to the end. And I believe she's probably still telling that story over in heaven. I believe she's probably still telling that story of how she got saved, how God saved her, how God brought her through. I believe that's the testimony. That's the heart, my heart this morning, to share that testimony all the days of my life, that I might be able to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I believe God is able. God is able to keep us. God is able to take us through. Another blessed thought in the doctrine of Jesus Christ is simply that of rejoicing. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I believe that is all part of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And it's my challenge this morning to all of us that we stand, that we stay, that we continue, we abide, we endure, we continue in the doctrine of Jesus Christ, that we do not turn away from that, as it talks about there in 2 John. I'm going to read that again in closing. Says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Praise God. Thank you this morning for your attention. And I just pray that our hearts could be established in the faith, that we could continue walking in Jesus Christ until he comes again.